p.m. home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm Lucy.
And I'm Erica.
And today we are talking about season 2, episode 2, The Saxophone. It was directed by William Asher, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed June 6, 1952. I know, we need to figure out what these ratings are, because apparently this one also had a really high rating.
I think
the 67.5 out of 65.
I think the audience rating, or the audience was really waiting for.
So happy to have it back.
Yes, to have it back, but everyone's just sitting. Although, how fascinating would it be? You know how they said time would like stop to everyone watching Lucy? That's probably what happened, season two, waiting, but go on.
So the synopsis. When Ricky won't take Lucy on tour, she digs out a saxophone in order to join the band. When that doesn't work, she tries to convince him that if he leaves her behind, it might not be good for their marriage. And then Ricky tries to get back at her and it backfires. So there's just a lot of back and forth in this one. And I like this episode.
Yeah. I love that she immediately went to Sinister to try and convince him to take her along.
Yes. This was another episode. It was the 40th episode filmed, the 37th aired, and it was also filmed before the summer hiatus in 1952 in order to prepare for the pregnancy leave that Lucy would be on.
Yes.
So, okay. So before we get into this, what are you drinking?
Okay. Now, here, a little behind the scenes, because I started off with saying that I didn't bring anything alcoholic. I brought Red Bull. Now, I know Red Bull's always paired with something at bars and things like that. Now, as you listeners may have picked up, I'm not a big drinker. So I do sound like I'm not a big drinker. So then I told Lucy that I had a vodka bottle that I just purchased for baking, because that's what I do. She's like, well, let's go get that. So I put in a couple of shots of that in here. So we'll see how that turns out. And yeah, I've never had it. But how about you?
I have pomegranate juice, Monster, and vodka.
Cheers. So
I couldn't tell by your face.
My face. it's strong. It is strong.
I did say 1 to 2, and I was surprised you put 2.
So all you know. Listen, you gotta give it a chance. You can't.
Yeah. All right.
Give it a chance. Okay. So the saxophone. What I did see, and I'm sure you saw this too, looking up, is that, you know, Lucy, every time she was tasked to play something on these episodes, she went all in to learn the thing, whether it's, I think you mentioned this last time, whether it's the pizza throwing, she went to learn it.
Ballet.
Yeah. The chocolate. That's what we talked about.
Yep.
And here it's the saxophone, but she did.
Apparently she learned it so well that she had to remember to play it, you know, poorly.
Right. She's like part of the orchestra in a week's worth.
You know, I always think like when I hear someone like a TV show or something that just sings so horrible, so convincingly horrible.
Unlike us in the shower or something, well, like these people actually sound
like
bad.
They probably are very good singers and they're trying to sound bad, you know? Mm-hmm. But before we, you know, get into the nitty gritty, I'm going to just pull the doom and gloom and say that this has got to have been a hard episode for her to shoot.
Yeah.
Because it really did parallel her real life scenario situation, starting this show to keep Ricky off the road to be with her and hopefully save the marriage. And then finally, when he did go on the road, you know, to prevent, like, that's what this is. And, you know, in this episode, that's what she's doing. And in real life, she tried this show to try to keep him at home and work on that marriage, you know.
Touring was always a big thing in the Arnaz marriage because, like you just mentioned, for goodness sakes, he was never home for the first, what did we say, 9 years of their marriage. You know, they weren't really together most of the time of they were married. And so this I Love Lucy show plus the radio show before that was, you know, to kind of keep them together, keep them there at home and working on something together to prevent him from going you know, and eventually it also caused the demise of the marriage. But here in this case, we'll see a little bit in the beginning, we'll start talking about it, where Ethel's like, oh, it's just him and the boys. And there's a lot of throughout the series of him leaving, of hinting at that, at like, oh, you know, boys on the road and on a, in a band, you know what that means?
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, you're
almost
right.
Like that's inevitable. It's just what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. It's a little touchy, but, it's interesting that her tactic at getting at him is the thing that she is concerned about him doing. So let's just, you know, we'll get into it, but
yeah. Okay. So a few, quotes real quick, what we were talking about a little bit earlier.
Lucy's laughing because I'm just drinking my Red Bull with the
vodka. Surprised you're drinking it so quickly. Slow down. 10 minutes
into opened
this,
up a door
like,
that.
So anyways, talking about, you know, so Lucy mentioned that she had played the saxophone as a child, but, you know, briefly. Mm-hmm. And when the writers discovered it, they really wanted to put that into the show, and obviously her Portly. And Madeline Pugh later said, you know, as for Lucy playing the saxophone, she was a writer's dream. No matter when she, what we asked her to do, ride a lawnmower, jump on a trampoline, walk on stilts, she never said no, just give me a few days to learn it. And then Desi, in his autobiography, a book, said, you know, we could have had Lucy fake playing the xylophone or the sax while someone off screen did it, but it wouldn't have been as funny as Lucy struggling to do it, mm-hmm. you know, well herself. So,
and that's one of the things that made her her, is that she was game for
right.
everything.
She wasn't like, how about someone else do it? It'll just be so much easier for me to learn my lines, learn yeah. everything else if you don't pile something else for me to learn.
She
from
may
scratch.
Have
no.
felt like it wasn't authentic if it wasn't her doing the things. And so yeah. other than singing in her old movies where they were dubbed, you know, it was all her literally doing her own stunts. And so I think part of that is playing badly so well.
Yes. Okay. So we start this episode in the attic, which is
the only time.
The only time yeah. we see this. Yeah. This attic.
Pretty big attic, by the way.
Right. If you notice. And you've got to wonder, like, is this, well, it's an apartment building, right?
Yeah.
So like, do you just have one? Cause it wasn't, you know, sectioned off.
Yeah.
So like, do you just have one?
I picture it being no. just like a separate storage room more than your typical attic in a house. You know, okay. you know, that's what I imagine, because if when it's yeah. an apartment building, I don't think they have an attic throughout the entire
the community.
Top.
Fair enough.
You know, so maybe it's just like a storage area. My question is, Lucy's in there, you know, looking through her stuff. Is it just hers?
Well, that's what I was asking. I was like, so
oh.
you know, how does that work? Like, do people just, is it a communal,
oh I see what you're saying,
area for people to put things? Because, you know, yeah. I had a friend who had, like, they had locked they were like cages
yeah.
for storage, but mm-hmm. it was, you know, and I was like,
each
that seems
individual yeah right, this looks like it's all personal for, this looks like right? it was hers yeah
yeah, it all looked like, or if it wasn't, she was just going through it all,
or maybe the writers picked up on what we just said and never showed it again because they realized right. how it looked.
It didn't make any sense. Maybe yeah, so she, Ethel, because they're the landlord, only let Lucy, the Ricardos, use it
because of her friends. Right. Yeah. So she's looking through old stuff like trunks and, you know, boxes and things like that, because she's looking for the saxophone for this particular reason that we spoke of her wanting to
no.
go on tour. No.
No, she's just doing it to empty out that trunk because she's sure that she's going, remember, before
oh, that's
Ethel,
right yes she wanted the empty
positive,
the empty,
so that ginormous mm-hmm. thing is for her,
right? And then this little bag is for Ricky's yeah, things. Oh Ricky. My gosh, I just totally yeah went haywire.
Colin laughed at that.
Yeah, that was funny, which is kind of true, because like my husband, that's how he packs. I mean, he purposely same. Just has a small suitcase. He's like, just throw it in there. And I'm like, day one, day two, day three, and I have, you know, big,
he'll have like two pairs of pants and
yeah.
two shirts. I can wash them. I can yeah. wear them many days in a row. But so she pulls out a few hats. One is from the Easter parade, mm-hmm. which wasn't really a parade as much as just a bunch of people strolling around waiting for compliments.
Outfits, I think.
Yeah, on their hats.
I'm going to try that down my neighborhood street. Just waiting for compliments. Not waiting. One. Not one.
It started in the 1880s and was inspired by Irving Berlin. Oh, no, it inspired him to write the song Easter Parade, which I have never heard, but I guess we can look it up.
It's from the Broadway musical.
It 1933, which means that we can probably put a snippet in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In then, here for y'all of that song, because I'll have to look it up.
And this, it was later served as the basis for the 1948 MGM film called Easter Parade. So it sounds like maybe, you know, back when people would dress up for events, holidays and things, and they would just admire people's hats, which I miss people wearing hats. Not that it's, you know, they do that more in like England and things like that. But here we're just so boring. Anyway, then she also found her floppy hat, which is called like a cloche. I had to put the, Google speaker to tell me how to pronounce it because I didn't know if it was clotch or cloche, but c-l-o-c-h-e, and she said it was during her Greta Garbo period, and since she even sinks in her cheeks to kind of give you the Greta Garbo look, who famously wore hats like that. So then she finds her saxophone. You're right, she finds a saxophone. She, that wasn't her initial, you know.
Yeah, she finds it. So goal. This is while they're in the middle of talking, right?
So
they're talking mm-hmm. about how she's going on the trip. And Ethel's like, oh, when did he ask you to come? Lucy, when did he ask you to come?
And she's just avoiding the question. Avoiding.
She pulls out a fish that he caught at
Lake
Chautauqua. There yes. you go. I'm really bad at pronunciation. But so you can actually, I looked it up. You can get like rent little houses there along like little bed and breakfasts along Ooh. That lake
mm-hmm.
And you could fish and get your very own
little itty
rainbow sardine.
Yeah, she had it mounted on this massive piece of wood and it's so tiny.
Yeah. And so okay, so yeah, during this whole time Ethel's pushing, and finally,
because Ethel knows
he's not gonna invite her.
She's giving her the look of, okay, when did he ask you to go? Because we both know he didn't ask and he wouldn't. It'd be very unusual that he did. And so, you know, finally she corners her and he's like, okay, she hasn't, but he's going to, you know, because what else is there to do with a bunch of boys on the road in a band?
What else? And I don't think Ethel says anything, but I swear you could see in her face like,
oh no, she says a lot with her face. No, yeah. A lot of judgment there.
And so that's during this time, this is when she finds her saxophone and she mentions that she was in the school marching band.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I meant to look up when women first started.
Yeah, because
Ethel made a big deal. Crazy thing.
She's like, not a woman saxophone player. Like, yeah, I guess saxophone players weren't women. And so she says that she did that because she was dating a football player, and so she wanted to be part of the band and kind of tour with the team. And that was her reasoning for going or for playing the saxophone in the band in high school.
This is just a really quick
mm-hmm.
search, but it looks like 1972.
That's not that long ago.
Other than a few musical instrumentals for men who were substituted for men serving in the military during World War II, the 1972 to 1973 marching band was the first band to have women instrumentalists.
Oh,
that's in the Penn State marching band. So maybe it was big, but anyways, it was not in 1943 to 1946. Women could be found filling in the marching band.
I see. Okay.
But they probably got kicked out of that once all the men came home.
And so anyways, that's why Ethel kind of made a big deal about not a girl yes. saxophone player. She's saying because she was, you know, chasing after a boy.
The football what was team. What did Ethel say?
She said she did left tackle.
Yeah.
And so she's, you know, and she's like, well, this is big enough for my stuff. Like you mentioned, a big trunk. And he's like, and this is, you know, big enough for Ricky's stuff, which is a small bag. And after that scene is then we cut to the Ricardo's apartment where, you know, Ricky looks upset already because he's struggling to find a band member.
We didn't talk about her playing the saxophone for her.
Oh, she did.
She did. She plays. They have all this information about it.
We'll she cut plays that out. You're right. I did too.
Glowworm by Paul Lucas, 1902 operetta, La Strada. So she plays that. And then she says, you know, Ethel requests Stardust. And I have not listened to either of them really. So I don't know what they sound like, if they sound anything alike. But.
And she says, that sounds exactly like Glowworm. She's like, yeah, that's the only thing I learned how to play.
Yeah, the only thing I learned. Yeah. And so Stardust was composed in 1927 by, I'm going to let you take it. Do you have the information? Carmichael. Oh, Carmichael.
Carmichael, like Lucy.
With lyrics added by Mitchell Parrish in 1929. It was an American standard and one of the most recorded songs of the 20th century with over 1,500 recordings.
And yeah. So, like you mentioned, she said it sounds just like Glowworm because, again, that's the only thing she learned how to play. And then we go over to the apartment.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Me, I'm just like jumping all over the place. And so the Ricky's in there and he's upset. He sounds upset because that he can't find a replacement saxophonist. Of course, before that, though. He is wanting her to send his tuxedo on tour, you know, to him. And she's like, well, I wasn't planning on being home, you know. And he's like, oh, well, were you going to go visit your mother? No, I was going to go visit my husband.
And he goes,
what?
That's where we get that awkward scene where he's like, no, you know, there's no room for you. You would have nothing to do. You're not one of the boys.
Right. There's no room in the bus.
Or does he say that later? He says that later. But yeah.
And so she says, you know, why don't I just go on top of the luggage? And he's just, he doesn't want any part of it. He didn't even think that that would be a thing to talk about today. So he's just really annoyed because he had other things on his mind. And, you know, she says, maybe I will go visit my mother permanently because she's upset that he doesn't want to take her. And so, you know, no women are going. And what about your harpist, Nancy? And Nancy was actually part of the Desi Arnaz Orchestra. She said, well, she's not going either, and neither are you. So it's really just, you know, one-nighters, he calls them, on tour with the band or with the orchestra. He's upset talking about Nebby Navy.
Oh, yeah.
A, you know, replacement.
You come to way ahead.
I'm already at the end. This is not a good idea today.
I was like, you had three sips of vodka, really, did you?
And so she gets like, oh my gosh, saxophone, that's heaven sent today. And so she goes and, you know, gets it.
She goes to get it. And so this is where we see that he's calling Ralph Brady, who's the real life saxophonist for the Desi Arnaz Orchestra as well. Mm-hmm. And he asks him to come audition. And then he also talks then about how they're going to have rehearsal, says the time. And like you were saying, that's when he says the saxophone and Lucy runs out. There's Desi still talking about inconsequential stuff, really. But then she comes in and starts playing horribly next to him. Yeah, and this is where he says, you know, listen, even if you could play and get into the band, you know, you're not one of the guys.
Right.
And so this will lead up to her asking Fred. Mm-hmm. That's where her quite exaggerated choices come in.
Yeah. So Fred comes in the next scene where, you know, she's playing the saxophone in the living room and he thinks that there's something wrong with the plumbing. So he comes upstairs to see what's wrong. And it's just her practicing on the saxophone. And of course, you know, she asked him how to be one of the guys because he used to be in vaudeville and, you know, would travel with a bunch of guys. And, you know, he says like, you have a poor diet, you don't sleep, things like that.
Not what she's looking for.
Not what she was trying to, you know, go for. And weird language that only they understand. And that's where she, this is what I love about one of the Lucy, when she goes into character as sort of a guy and she's dressed, you know, in men's clothing. I love when she does that
because
it's
so just because whole other character. Finally she's like, no, listen, you have to I need your help. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of, he sits down and he's like, all right. And then it fades away to the next scene where the next scene is Ralph Brady, you know, playing beautifully on the saxophone. I think they wanted to remind you all that like saxophones can be played well. and he gets the job, right? Mm-hmm. Desi's like, great, go to the office, sign the papers. And that's when Lucy comes in her whole get up. I just love it. I love the way she's walking and swinging around. We'll have to try to find a picture of her.
It reminds you of the audition when she goes in there to audition separately with the band. It's kind of the same premise. I just love when she goes into that male character of hers. And and he's like, no, you can't get down, you know, you're not doing this. And everyone's like, no, just let her audition. She's getting much more encouraged by watching everyone wanting her to audition, you know, because she's got the saxophone in her hand. They have no idea what she sounds like, but they want her to audition, so she does.
And she's, you know, really laying into the stereotypical musician of the 20s and the 30s. Mm-hmm. Which is when Fred probably would have had his vaudeville act and would have been around musicians, right? And so I think that's fun that, you know, she's not really doing the stereotypical 1950s, 60s.
Yeah, so she calls everyone 50s. Cats.
Yeah, cats and cool daddy and which is weird.
Well, now it is.
But now it is, yeah.
Yeah.
She it's fun. It's a fun scene. I mean, she biffs it. And everyone is laughing
because including Ricky starts, you know, conducting for a song. So everyone knows that that comes with a sax solo, which is part of the audition process. So
and Lucy can't read music. So. Which, you know what? She can't now, but then she writes a musical. And no matter how bad it is, she's still writing it. So
now you're just
continuity.
now you're just being realistic. Yeah. And so, yeah, so, you know, they all introduce the song and then pause and she's just like, oh,
and then you can see she's just fingering and not doing anything.
What I love is that she blows one note and then yells like, ah, I did so great.
Oh, the A when he asks her to play an A. Yeah. And so she obviously doesn't do well because when she finally comes in and plays the solo, it's glowworm.
It's glowworm.
And so Ricky... He's like, listen, I don't want you to go out. Yeah. And this is weird. This is like a kind of conversation that I would be uncomfortable having in front of a whole band.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I just want you to stay at home and be a good little wife. And this
good
is
little
when she
girl.
Leaves. Good little girl.
Oh, my gosh.
And this is where she leaves. And she's like, all right, I'll stay at home.
I'll stay at home.
And he goes, wait, what?
What does that mean? Oh, that mean? Nothing.
And that's when she gets the idea for the next scene.
So Ethel comes in and is like, here's Fred's hat and gloves. What do you want with them? You know, what are you planning to do? And she says, well, as long as he's going to leave, he should know that it's not safe to leave me alone. Now, that's a very risky game to play, you know, especially with a Latin temper. And so, you know, she's playing with fire there, obviously. She's not
definitely knowing, like, at that time, women don't step out, right? Like,
oh, certainly not. No. And so she brings over a man's hat and gloves to make it appear like a man was there. So that's her ruse, you know, that she's going to have him thinking somebody was here. So you shouldn't leave me here alone. You should take me along. So if no man enters this home, you know, just leaves his hat and gloves laying around. By the way, did they wear gloves?
I mean, I guess when they're all dressed
fancy,
up,
all fancied up,
like real fancy.
Okay. And so she, you know, Ethel's like, you know, Ethel's concerned. She's like, are you sure you want to do this? Because we both
the
know
voice of reason in this.
Yeah.
Both her and Fred, really. Yeah. They don't fight it too much, but they both say, hey,
maybe not do this. Maybe not this.
Should we be doing this?
Yeah, go back to the baby boys and cry. Maybe he'll take you that way, but not this. This is a little risky. So Ethel's like, you know, if I hear something, I'm going to come and check on you because you know, it's very, very concerning. Ricky comes home. She's all dressed up, by the way. She's at home. She's got this big, beautiful dress on. Her hair's all done, you know, and, you know, no, nothing. I'm just laying around the house.
No, nothing.
just, you know, and so they both, and he's like, oh, okay. Which probably infuriates her because he just went way over his head. Yeah,
because he moves the hat and like doesn't do anything. It's very much like he's oblivious, but like, yeah, he just wants to read his paper and not deal with anything. Right.
So she moves it closer to him. You know, they both start reading the paper, and she even, you know, kicks it, you know, and for it to fall down, and he picks it up and puts it back on the table. She's like, oh my god, he still doesn't notice. But then it takes him a minute,
and you see him, get there. I do want to mention that while she's reading this, is this another sponsor that we missed?
No, this was in the previous week's episode where she's reading.
Is it the same paper? The
same paper.
It's the same exact
sponsor.
Paper.
Yes. Same sponsor.
Okay. Because I was like, it just seems super weird that so I'm talking about the Schaffier beer and the John Walker whiskey. It's the same layout that was used last week.
Right. Same one.
So I was like, is that a new, but no. Anyways. Yeah.
So she kicks the hat, falls on the ground. He goes to pick it up, does nothing.
Takes
a second or two to realize, wait a minute, is that my hat? You know, or is that a hat? And so he puts the paper down and goes to, you know, pick it up and say, what's this hat? And she's like, well, that's your hat. And to convince him that that's his hat. It's hilarious because it's like a deep, is it a bucket hat? I don't know, like a bucket hat, but more of a deeper hat. It certainly doesn't go with his head.
It looks it's like not a bowler hat.
Yeah, it's not a fedora. No. Certainly not.
And it's ginormous. So.
Yes. And then she says, you know, he says, are you sure it's fine? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now she knows what she's doing. And this is where the whole ruse starts. So he goes to put it on and then he grabs the mirror and it goes over his eyes. It's hilarious because he's just like, huh. You know, this isn't exactly mine.
I do not think this is mine.
It's like, and I suppose those are my gloves too. And then she goes into full acting mode. She goes, oh, all flustered. I don't know, you know, Lucy, who's been here. And this is what I love, that much like that episode where Mrs. Littlefield is like throwing, you know, the biscuits to miss, you know, to keep messing with him, even when it's unnecessary with her husband, he loses it because he's thinking, oh, there's a man here. There was a man here with you. And he's probably still here. Right. So he goes in, he said, don't check that bedroom.
And then he opens and closes the door.
That's my favorite part.
Where she like, ran out.
So he goes into the bedroom. Yeah. You know, she goes to the closet, opens it, slams the door, stomps on the ground, and then runs to make it sound like my God, like somebody was there. That's a lot to go through. And I mean, listen, I'm upset for her that he doesn't want to take her just because, you know, it would upset me, I guess. But do you really want him to think that this is the reason why? I mean, that's a lot.
Then Ricky just keeps the ball going, right? So well,
yeah, he gets upset. And then Ethel comes in with Fred, and she's like, I can't take this anymore, Ethel, you know, I don't want any, you know, mess with this any longer. So
yeah, and then Fred goes, hey, why is my hat here? What? And slowly but surely Ricky realizes, like, whoa, this is your hat,
I suppose. These, you know, are your this gloves
is
too.
This is Lucy messing with me, right?
Before that though, she's like, it couldn't be him, could it? I mean, for a split second.
And then he was like, oh, yeah, no, it's Fred. So after this scene, this is when Ricky's like, you know what? I'm going to get back at her. And he always goes just overboard.
He can't just,
at least,
like,
he didn't try to murder her this time.
No murder.
Pretend murder her.
No murder. And so, of course, you know, he could have just stopped it and said, listen, I know what you're doing, but you're not going to go with me. I have to go work or something like that. But it wouldn't be I Love Lucy if that was the case. So he thinks he wants to one up her. And so this is where he does call Jewel, a friend of his. This is played by Herb Vigran, this is the first time we see him, but he's like a very busy character actor. And he makes his series debut in this episode. And then he comes back in Anniversary Present,
which is the next episode.
Yes, to play the same character. And then he's Mrs. Trumbull's nephew, Joe, if you remember, with the washing machine.
The washing machine, pair. Yep.
He offers them different amounts of money. Oh my God, that's a good one. Oh, can't wait. And then he never do business with friends. And Al Sparks, the publicist who turns Lucy and Ethel into Martians, and Lucy is envious. That's the one who comes in and is like, I'm looking for the girls. We're the girls. Okay. And he also plays the man who sold Lucy and Desi in the long, long trailer and returned to work for Lucy in 6 episodes of The Lucy Show. So he had a lot of history with the Yerneses. That's pretty cool. And so, you know, he's like, I need some guys to send over here. He calls, I think it's the union that he's calling, the musicians union, just send over. He started off with just one. Guys. And he's like, just send them all. Oh my God.
This is where we meet Charles Victor. Mm-hmm. He's the first man to come out of the closet.
Yeah, so
this is the only.
You have to set up how it began, though, how that whole scene.
I will. I'm just going to give a little rundown on him. And then this is the only appearance he has in the series. He's actually just 5 days older than Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other men are uncredited.
Yeah.
How this works out. Lucy's like walking past Ricky and he's putting on that like upset. Pretend I'm really upset mm-hmm. face. Like I'm really hurt. And she finally is like, listen.
She's feeling guilty about it.
Yeah. She's like, listen, I made that up. I wanted you to take me with you.
There's no other man.
And there's no other man. There's no other man that hat. And she was explaining it all. Mm-hmm. Being honest, you know, mm-hmm. feeling bad, but still being honest. And Ricky could have called it off at this point, but then was like, nope, we're gonna keep going. It's like, you know, I bet someone's here now. I bet there's someone in the closet there. So no, she does, because she's like, listen, if there was someone in the closet, would I be silly enough to come over and open the door? And then she like screams and closes because it.
She sees that there's a man in there and she's like panicking. She doesn't know what to do because I mean, what do you do in that moment if it's actually happening? You can't.
There's nothing to do.
Fear, because you just played it off like there's a man in the closet. You know, is there somebody in there? No, somebody there. And whoever's in there, come out. And so that's where the actor, Charles Victor, comes out of there. And she says, well, he's giving me saxophone lessons.
And then she does the same thing again. She's like, listen, I just came over here. I opened the door and she screams again.
Funny,
he
goes, so funnier on vodka. I don't know.
He gives me.
Expression is just like, what? And she puts her hands on the wall like she doesn't know what to do.
He's like, okay, so she's like, he gives me saxophone lessons and he flips the music.
There's another man. And then she's like, all right, everybody who's in there, come out. And she goes, there's more.
He says, we're gonna clear this closet out. And so 2 more men come out and he like ushers them out. And this is where she kind of like freaks out and runs away.
And they're all chasing her, which by the way, I know everyone's joking. I mean, in the episode, everyone's, you know, Ricky knows that these are all safe men or whatever, but
I mean, he doesn't know these men. So well,
that's true. So he's just,
they could be
and laugh while all these men chase his wife, God knows where. I mean, the joke has been established, sir.
Let's make sure your wife's okay.
You know, and so, yeah, they all chase her. Now, this is what I love. The Uno reverse card is really great. So somehow I'm guessing one of the men probably spilled the beans and told her. So she's not frightened that these strangers are following her or chasing her.
He's like, listen, we need to get back at him.
Yes, one more time. And so as time goes on, she's not coming home. So he's, you know, concerned. He gets a call from this guy, Jewel, that we spoke of, from the actor Herb Vigran. And he's like, listen, I tried. I couldn't get anybody. And he's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's bigger problems I'm dealing with. Wait, what? Lucy? And he like runs out of the apartment. He
runs out of the house to look for her now.
And then you see her shaking hands with everybody because she finally got the end. She started it and she finished it, which I love.
Yeah, I love that. This is one of those episodes that I just forget how much I like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're definitely being obnoxious with the, I don't know if it's even obnoxious. It's like those couples on like TikTok or whatever that like prank each other where you're like,
oh, mm-hmm.
you might not need to do that. But also if that's your thing, like, go ahead.
Yeah.
If that's how you vibe, then fine.
Yeah.
And so, but neither one of them are being overly, there are definitely parts where like, okay, four men chasing after your wife, maybe stop that. I get that, but there's nothing overly feminist. I didn't have to jump up on a soapbox, you know.
I thought you were going to jump.
Who was the good girl?
That's what I'm going to say. I thought you were going to jump on the, I just want you to stay home and be a good little girl.
Yeah. I mean, I did, that did like rustle my feathers a little bit, but like, it was just the way of speaking back then. I know that doesn't make it any better.
No, it wasn't.
But like, especially I feel like we harped on that all through season one, guys. So I'm trying to,
yeah.
If there's a real big soapbox for me to step up on, I still will. But like the smaller things we've established that I don't agree with them.
Yeah, I think in a male dominated home, in a Latin male dominated home, because it's really what that was. I think that's how women were spoken to, even down to not even giving her the opportunity to perhaps go along with him. It was just a straight no, just men, you know, and that's fine. You know, he's working, but everything is led by the times. A show like this would not go very well in today's society, but because it was handled so comically and people loved the Lucy character so much, we're here today because of, you know, the magic that Lucy brought to the show. But the premise of it, I think a lot of people would be on Twitter writing like, you know, don't call her a little girl. This, you know, does he mean something else? No, he doesn't. It's no. Just
how they talk. And yeah, it's one of those episodes where I honestly didn't even remember how it ended. Really?
She did
the saxophone. I mean, and of course, once it happened, I'm like, oh, I remember all this, you know,
I think because but, like I mentioned to you, the audition and this, they're all kind of like,
they are quite similar.
So a lot of those mesh together. So it's easy to get confused, but it is a fun one. And like we said, is it anniversary present that's next? That's
yes. Yeah. I like that one too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all, if we didn't like them, we wouldn't be doing this, but as you know, there's still some that were like,
Yeah. But this was a fun one. So we hope that you guys enjoyed it. Please let us know in comment section on Instagram, Facebook. Please leave us reviews on our podcast
on
Apple. I think they're the only ones who allow it, or perhaps Audible too. You know, it helps with
even on YouTube. If you see a video, mm-hmm. you can leave a review there.
Yeah, we do get some on YouTube, you know, once in a while. But yeah, it helps push our audio or video along for Lucy fans. So I do love that. So if you have any suggestions, we do have movie review coming out, and you probably have already heard it by this point, but we will be sprinkling them throughout and hopefully interviews, things like that in season two. But if you like this type of stuff, let us know. We are on Having a Ball Pod on Instagram, Having a Ball Podcast on Facebook, YouTube, and our email is havingaballpod@gmail.com. Thank you guys.
Wonderful. Thank you guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.